What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thomas, when Caleb does get to the line of scrimmage and you have the play called, how much flexibility does he have, maybe depending on the play clock, to change things based off what he's seeing?
Very little. So most of it is based off of being able to have it built into a particular call or being able to have an alerted play, like I just talked about before, would it be a run to run, run to pass, run to play action pass, run to keep, or vice versa. Obviously, from a third down standpoint, it's a lot more pure progression, less of coverage-based reads, not a lot of man versus zone alerts to kind of be able to alleviate some stress off of him. So this is stuff that kind of shows up in the game when it comes to possible zero pressure where he has some flexibility to kind of get in and out of certain plays. But for the most part, not a whole lot.
Horrible.
There he is, Thomas Brown, interim head coach, offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams has no flexibility at the line of scrimmage. If I screw him into a bad call, he's screwed. That's how you win games. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Charlie Hughes, and other side of the glass. Joining us now, he is Sir Rami Makhlouf from 670 The Score, also fills in here on The Fan. Follow him on Twitter at Rami is tweeting. Rami Makhlouf, your thoughts on what you just heard there from Thomas Brown, pretty much saying Caleb Williams has very little flexibility when calling plays at the line of scrimmage.
I haven't heard the Sir Rami Makhlouf in a minute. That was nice. Hi, Sparky. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
That doesn't bother me so much. He is a rookie. You know what I mean? There are a lot of guys around this league who don't have too much flexibility at the line of scrimmage, and especially guys who are rookies. When you look at it, Sparky, and you compare what they've put on Caleb Williams compared to what some of these other teams with rookie quarterbacks have put on their guys, and those guys statistically have had better years than Caleb Williams, but they haven't dumped nearly as much in their laps as the Bears have with Caleb Williams as far as his responsibility when it comes to the offense and protections pre-snap in terms of the preparation and in the week leading up to it. Caleb Williams has taken on a lot more of the job of being an NFL quarterback in his rookie year than Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix and these other guys that folks are talking about. And I mean, like I said, they've put up better numbers and there's something to be said about that, but it doesn't bother me that he doesn't have a whole lot of flexibility given everything else that they've sort of given him to handle so far this year.
Weren't you the guy on The Score that I heard before the season talking about wouldn't be surprised if Caleb kind of found himself in the MVP conversation possibly at the end of the year? Rami Makhlouf? I think it was.
I did not say MVP conversation.
I think you might have.
No, I didn't. I said, unless you caught me in, like, you know, in one of my moments, but not, never with a level head. What I said about Caleb Williams was he could be, by the end of the season, the best quarterback in the NFC North. I did say that. Not that he would put together a season that would be better than anybody else in the NFC North, but by the end of the year, if I asked you if you could pick one guy to win a game today, who would it be? And you might pick Caleb Williams. But I had three caveats on that, Sparky, three qualifiers that not only did the success of Caleb Williams hinge on these three things, the success of the Bears hinged on these three things.
All right.
One, It was one, do you have an NFL head coach in Matt Eberflus? No. The answer to that was no. Two is, what kind of offensive coordinator do you have in Shane Waldron? Because I didn't know really much about the guy at the time, and the answer was not very good. And three, what is this offensive line? And is that suitable to put in front of a rookie quarterback who is the number one pick in the draft? And the answer to that was also a resounding no. With all three of those things being answered the wrong way, yeah, obviously Caleb Williams wasn't gonna succeed to that degree, and obviously the Bears weren't gonna win a lot of football games. So I saw those possible pitfalls before the season started. I didn't just throw that out there with nothing to back it up. You know me, I'm too smart to do that. I gotta give myself an out.
But the problem is he holds the ball too long. He doesn't like to take chances, therefore the low interception numbers. And that's something obviously you didn't know necessarily coming into this. And also I feel like he is very slow to figure out what a defense is doing against him when a play is ongoing. Which I think is another thing that also hampered Justin Fields. What I don't quite understand, however, is why is it all these offensive coordinators stink for the Bears when maybe it's just the players themselves, maybe more so than the coordinators themselves? No?
I tend to think that Caleb Williams is a pretty good talent at the quarterback position. And I think that a lot of those things that you laid out are things that can be coached out of a guy given the right leadership and tutelage from a coach or a coordinator. And Sparky, this was something you and I disagreed on for a long, long time. I don't think great quarterbacks just fall from trees. I think great quarterbacks need a lot of things to sort of prop them up, especially to start their careers in the developmental stage to foster that development. I think you need a good offensive line. I think you need some tools around you. And probably more than anything, I think you need some good coaching and somebody who's going to really teach you playing quarterback at the NFL level. I heard a clip yesterday from, it was Mike Holmgren on, what's the station in Seattle, Sparky? We would always get guests from there when they'd play the Seahawks.
Anyways, go on. It doesn't matter.
Anyway. And he was saying when he was coaching Joe Montana, he had a couple of Super Bowls already under his belt. And he said that every day Joe Montana would drill the basics, like stuff that you would think a high school kid is doing. He was practicing his 3 and 5 and 7 step drops. And he said if he had Caleb Williams, that's exactly what he would do. He said that he thinks a lot of the basics of playing quarterback in the NFL are lost in the coaching process and get lost in the sauce of all this other stuff that we talk about. A lot of this is fixable, and the Bears just haven't had the right people in place to fix it.
Time with Rami Makhlouf, 670 The Score. Follow him on Twitter at Rami is tweeting. We had Lawrence Holmes on earlier today from The Score, and we talked to him about the two scenarios that I see possibly playing out. One, the idea of the Bears coming in looking like the Jets last week, rolling over and playing dead. Or two, they come in, act like it's their Super Bowl and are looking to rip heads off of people and outplay, end the 10-game losing streak, win in Green Bay, win at Lambeau, beat the Packers, give the Bears fans something to feel good about, give themselves something to feel good about, kind of going into the offseason. Which do you think happens?
Oh, I've given up on this team showing any real fight or intensity, Sparky. I've been waiting for that since the Hail Mary in Washington when this whole losing streak started, and then when they fired their coach, I was like, oh, this is a time where these guys will look in the mirror or look around the locker room at each other and go, nobody to blame but us now. We better go out there and show a little bit of pride and some fight. And they just haven't. I mean, it's only gotten worse. At least the losses were close and dramatic and came down to the last plays of games earlier in the year. The last 4 or 5 weeks, it's just been going out there and getting their asses kicked. And I've talked with plenty of people who are in that locker room and talked to these guys, and they say that they haven't quit, they haven't given up, and I have to take those guys for their word. I don't go in the locker room and talk to these guys, but I just don't see the level of intensity that you need from a football team to succeed. at the NFL level, and something is really wrong here, Sparky. Like, you don't lose. I said this yesterday on my show, and I'll be back on the air tonight, 6 to 9 p.m. You don't lose 11 games in a row just on bad coaching. There's something really, really wrong here. You stumble into a win at some point over the course of 11 games, unless there's just...
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something really wrong, and they got to figure out what it is this offseason and try to fix it.
Is it the McCaskies owning the team? You know, for so long, it was me wanting Herb Cole to sell the team just to change the mojo, change everything up, and see if that helped. Now, again, Giannis's development helped them all look good coming from New York. But they did win a championship after Herb sold the team. Do Bears fans feel like, I mean, we all saw the CM Punk thing, but do Bears fans feel like that's the only way to fix this is to have the McCaskies sell?
Well, I know they're not going to sell. I know that's not going to happen, so I don't waste my time, you know, dreaming of that or talking about that. But it definitely starts there, Sparky. There's a lot of mystery in how the Bears operate and how much the McCaskies meddle or interfere with the people that they hire. But at the very least, they hire bad people. Not bad people in the sense that they're bad people, but they hire people who aren't good at their jobs, who then hire people who aren't good at their jobs, who then hire people who aren't good at their jobs, who then hire people who aren't good at their jobs, so on and so forth down the line. That's the least amount of involvement that they have in all this. And it could be much more than that when it comes to setting the tone and the culture and how much do they step in and interfere or give their input into some of these major decisions that are made from a football standpoint. We don't really know, and a lot of people have different theories and different sources as to how involved they are, but at the very least, they're hiring incompetent people who then hire incompetent people, and it trickles all the way down to a bad football product.
Rami, when we talk about this this Bears organization, as we sit here right now, knowing that they're going to have to hire a head coach. No decision made as of now that I know of with Ryan Poles. Kevin Warren is in charge, former Big Ten commissioner. If you had a vote, does Poles stay or does Poles go?
That's probably the toughest decision, Sparky, because
Charlie, if you had a vote, does Poles stay or does Poles go?
Ryan Poles goes.
Okay. Go ahead, Rami.
And I get where Charlie's coming from. I 100% get where Charlie is coming from. And that's probably where I'm leaning, Sparky. But the thing that worries me is you're going to bring somebody in here and Caleb Williams isn't their guy and they're not really going to do all they can do to support him and until they can get their quarterback in a year or two. And it just worries me that it sets the whole clock back as far as how quickly this thing is moving forward to a point of actual NFL relevance for the Chicago Bears. That's the thing that scares me most about it. But here's the real hang up, and I'm going to talk about this tonight on The Score. Again, I'll be on there 6 to 9. If you don't fire him, you almost have to extend him.
Yes,
correct. That's the real kicker here, because yep. Other there, for a number of reasons. For starters, that job isn't as attractive to sought after head coaches that are going to be out there on the market this year. If they're walking into a situation with a GM who's walking on eggshells and might not have his job in a year, and you don't know who you're going to be working for or answering to, but a year from now.
But this is the other thing, Rami. The Jets are already interviewing people. Has Chicago talked to anybody?
As far as GMs?
No, coaches.
Oh, Not that we know of.
Jets have already had two or three interviews with potential head coaches that are available. What are they waiting for? You have an interim. You didn't promise Thomas Brown that job. You should be able to interview the Vrabels of the world if you want.
If they want.
Well, they should want to.
That's the key qualifier there. If they want. These guys who the Jets have talked to are guys that are available. Are the Bears interested in guys who are not yet available and can't talk to teams until that window during the playoffs where you can talk to assistant coaches of playoff teams or of assistant coaches of teams that won't make the playoffs and will be available tomorrow, on Monday.
Rami, do you know why you interview anybody that's available right now, even if you have no intention of... Do you know... What'd you say?
Just to pick their brains?
Yes, to see what they think of your organization, to see what they think of your players, to get opinions on different guys, get opinions on schemes, get all of that, even though if I'm not going to hire Mike Vrabel. Smart dude. May want to see what he has to say at this point. Even if you're not going to hire Pete Carroll, bring in Pete Carroll. See what he says. See what he pulls out of how he thinks he could fix it. See what happens. Who knows? Before this is all said and done, you may be like, you know, we didn't really intend on hiring Mike Vrabel, but he's the best of everybody we talked to. We may want to go back and talk to him again. It doesn't hurt anything to have interviews. It doesn't hurt anything. Like, I don't see a negative to it.
I don't disagree with you entirely. I do see one possible negative to it, and it's this. I don't trust the Bears. And I'm afraid that the right guy with the silver tongue is gonna sit there in front of him and while they might not be interested in Pete Carroll when he walks out the door and they're just doing what you're talking about, Sparky, just trying to pick his brain and sponge some of that football knowledge from him that he's sponged so much of in his 40 plus years of coaching or whatever it is. And by the time Pete Carroll walks out of the room, they're like, you know what? Maybe we hire this guy, and then they end up not even asking about a Ben Johnson or one of these other guys that are potentially better candidates.
Do you think that it's as simple as there's one guy on the board and they know they're getting him, so they're not worried about it, and that guy is Flores, the defensive coordinator with the Vikings, because him and Poles went to college together and all of that stuff? Do you think it's just that simple? They know they got their guy already, and they're just waiting for the Vikings season to end?
I don't think so. I don't think it's as simple as that. And if it is one guy, I don't think it's Flores. If it's one guy, I think it's probably Ben Johnson. That's the way that the Bears can win this offseason in the eyes of Bears fans, because a lot of us are jaded right now, Sparky. A lot of us, there isn't a lot they can do this offseason where we're going to go, "Oh, okay. They did that. Well, I'm back in, and I believe in what's going on here." And Ben Johnson might be the one move. Brian Flores would be, I guess, might turn out to be a fine hire, but I don't think the reaction to a Brian Flores would be what it would be to a Ben Johnson. And they've been pretty transparent about the fact that this hire is largely about Caleb Williams. And I don't see how hiring a defensive-minded head coach who did not have the most productive relationship with his first-round quarterback in Miami in his first stop as a head coach, I don't see how they can even sell that as doing the best thing for Caleb Williams. No offense to Brian Flores. I think he makes a very good head coach in Canada. I just don't know if this situation is the right one for him.
I agree. I wouldn't want him. If I was the best of Caleb Williams, I want an offensive guy. If I'm not getting an offensive guy, then I better get a coach with a Super Bowl ring that has a history of having good offenses and can put up points in this league and can go through different offensive coordinators and always have some type of success. That's what I would be looking for otherwise. Rami Makhlouf, 670 The Score. Follow him on Twitter at Rami is tweeting 6-9 tonight on 670 The Score if you feel like laughing at Bears fans. Rami, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate it.
That's not nice. That's not nice.
What's not nice?
To laugh at us.
What else is there to do?
And have some fun. I make a show fun. Even when things are bad, I make a show fun.
I don't know. I thought I was going to have fun when you had me on over on New Year's Day. I thought we were going to talk about the Trader and the Cubs, and we just talked about the stupid Backer Bear game the whole time.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, you're not. No, you're not. You next tweeted time. Out hashtag Cubs, and then I never even got a chance to talk about it. And then
you
know what this jerk did after that? Then he tells me on the air, "Oh, Sparky, we're not going to talk about that, but we're going to talk about Brett Bielema coming up next." Right, because I wouldn't want to talk about Brett either.
You're a jerk. That's it. I'm done. 2025, no different than 2024. Goodbye, Rami.
See you, dude.
There he is, Rami Makhlouf. 670 The Score. Follow him on Twitter @RamiIsTweeting.